Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, you know, this is becoming a bit of a tradition. Do they have traditions in Singapore? Yes, you guys have traditions. I'm learning. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me be here again. It's nice to be around great folks. I told the people last night, if I like people, I'm very quick to say, I really like you. If I don't like you, I'm really quick to say, I really don't like you. Because it's just easier. I appreciate your pastor, appreciate so many of you that have, since I've been coming here the last couple of years, have jumped in, prayed for us, supported us, been a part of the ministry. It makes a huge difference, as you guys can see in the video. As Pastor said, 154,000, largest Sunday school in the world. How does that happen? The great questions of life. Why is it that it's taken so long for somebody to finally figure out what it takes to really make a difference in a culture, in a difference in society? I was telling them in the service last night, I went to Somalia, and one of the guys from the UN that you people pay, you pay the UN salary, I'm sure you know that, he wanted a $50 bribe from me to be able to unload the trucks of food that we had brought from Nairobi. And he pulled out a 45, put it on the table, like he was going to intimidate me. And that didn't work. So I told him either he's going to shoot me or I'm going to shoot him. And then he looked at me and he knew I was a little crazy. Sometimes you can tell I'm crazy. Other times it's hard to say. Today could go either way. It's too early. So just be nice to me in the back table. Because I'm trying to be nice. I'm having a good time. And it was after that, one of the truck drivers that had helped me drive the food to the refugee camp, he said, I wish I had the same kind of faith that you have. Listen to me. I wish I had the same kind of faith that you have. You know, when you've been around church all your life, I've been in the ministry now right at 50 years. Actually, it's a miracle to me that I've been around Christians for 50 years and haven't killed one yet. I think I need like a plaque next year if I come back after today. Somebody needs to make me a plaque or some stupid little watch for going 50 years. That's a miracle. But it was interesting that this man said, I wish, listen to me, I wish that I could have that same kind of faith. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. This is a power of the process weekend. I'm doing three different messages. Today will be totally different than last night. The next service, totally different than this message. But it's all kind of tying in with the process. Some Christians get so consumed with the process that they miss the end result, or they miss the purpose of the process. And then other Christians are so consumed with their purpose that they don't understand the process. That was worth you coming for, just if you understood what I just said. It was worth you dragging yourself out of bed, because some of you did, just for that. So in these two messages today, I'm going to walk you through the process that it takes to be that kind of individual that does something beyond the norm. A lot of people think I have some special calling, some special gift. I am not a 10-talented person. I am not a 5-talented person. I just got tired of seeing the church not quite be what the New Testament church was designed to be. I got tired of it. And I said, you know what? I really believe that one person can make a difference. Do you believe that? Good. Six of you do. That's a good start. Let me try it again. Do you really believe that one person can make a difference? Yeah, I know you do. But it goes from belief to action. That's kind of what today is. Okay? Look at the person next to you. Just tell them, I'm glad you're here. Just tell somebody. If they look like they're not quite with it, just slap them upside the head. Just cuff them quick. Glad you're here. Just kind of get them with the program. I'll be at the, what do they call this thing back here? The Plaza. Plaza. Sounds very Singaporean. I will be at the Plaza or Plaza. Plaza. Anyways, I'm going to be out there after the service. There's all kinds of stuff out there. There's calendars, books, tapes. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it. Let's see what we got. The calendar. Please make sure you pick one of these up. No charge for these, of course. If you want me to keep you updated on what's going on at Metro with the kids, there's a slip on the bottom. Tear it off. Give it to me personally. Don't give it to the ushers. They're not going to know what to do with it. Give it to me. I want to shake your hand and thank you for being a part of the prayer network. It's a very important part of what we do. Because of the places I go, I've had my jaw broken, my ribs broken, my legs broken, and my heart broken. In that order. I understand life. I understand ministry. I understand that it's not just showing up on a Sunday morning. It's much bigger than that. All of you know that. And today, we're going to kind of push that a little bit. I'm going to poke you a little bit this morning. I'm going to try to tweak you just a little bit to get you to see beyond the norm. And, of course, the books, Running with Turtles, that was done specifically for Singaporeans. I told them last night, I knew I'd get a couple of you if I waited long enough. You ever have people tell you, hey, you're doing too much, you go to church too much, you're too excited? So if you have friends like that, first of all, you need to get new friends. Second of all, if you do have a friend like that, you need to get this book, hold on to it, and when your friends come up and tell you to slow down, you pick up this book and you smack them in the head with it, in Jesus' name. And say, no, I'm not slowing down. You need to speed up. Amen? Y'all need to speed up. So that's kind of the purpose of the book. It's actually a weapon used for your friends that don't quite have it together. And then, of course, Teflon Rhino. If you're going to make it in life, you got to have skin. Thick as a rhino, made out of Teflon. Nothing sticks to you. You know how I've made it 50 years? I don't get offended. I know some folks, they get offended. If somebody doesn't shake your hand, I stood at the back for a little bit. And I was just shaking people's hands. Nobody knew who I was, but I looked like I knew what I was doing. I had my cute little suit on, my Singapore tie, my red tie 1 week late. But you know what? I don't get rattled by things. Even when I got shot in the head, almost bled to death, drove myself to the hospital, and people were convinced I was going to retire. People like me don't retire. Where do people like me go? Singapore? Could you see me living here? I mean, I love coming here. I'm here every August. I love to visit. But could you see me living in a place like this? No. No. He'd be raising money every month to bail me out of jail. I guarantee you, I would be arrested here for preaching on the street probably about once a month. So now I can do this once a year, but y'all understand. And then, of course, whose child is this? If you haven't picked up this one, are we on a close-up here? Who's got the camera? Where's the camera? Somebody else doing that? There's some magic person somewhere. Get a close-up, all right? This is the one that tells the story of how Metro has become the largest Sunday school in the world. This has never been done in history, folks. We're pushing very quickly towards the end of this year, towards 200,000 a week in Sunday school. That's never been done. There's a reason why that's happening. You're going to hear more about it today. And if you're interested really in how one person really can put something into motion, that's what this is. Who has not read this book? Wave at me. You have not read this book. Oh, ladies, I'm shocked. Here. You're very welcome. Merry Christmas. All right. I'm going to be at the back. If you want me to sign your book, what else do I want to talk about? Let's see. This should be here. It's there. That's there. Last thing. Many of you, when I was here last year, sponsored one of our kids. Thank you. I say this on the more serious side, is that the sponsorship program is probably the major catalyst of making a difference in kids' lives that I'm not even sure that some of us, this side of eternity, are really going to understand the impact and the change that this makes. Most of you know my personal story. When my mom left me on the street corner when I was a little boy, I sat on that corner for 3 days with no food, no water, and the only one that stopped was a Christian. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting? Hundreds drove by, hundreds walked by, and only one stops. And you know, anybody could have been the one that stopped, right? Gang member, drug dealer, pedophile. Anybody could have stopped. And had that happened, we would not have had 154,000 in Sunday school. One person made a difference. One person chose to stop. His own son was in the hospital dying of leukemia, but he still stops, pulls his truck over, gets out, puts his hand on my shoulder and says, "Are you okay?" That's it. That's it. No lights, no cameras, no ushers, nothing. Just a very ordinary Christian who stopped to pick up the little boy that nobody wanted. When you leave today, you'll see me out there signing the books, but you will also see these pictures. If you have not had a chance yet to sponsor one of the kids, I'll get you out of here in plenty of time. Don't get in a rush. Stop. Take a look. We've got kids that go to our Sunday school in Kenya. Kids that go to our Sunday school in India. Most of these kids that you will see out there are kids that were just like me. I was this kid. That's why I am so passionate about the sponsorship program, because it puts you in that same position as the man who picked me up. We have an office here in Singapore, as most of you know. The sponsorship is $35 a month. You can be as involved in the life of the child as you choose to be. And if you wonder, because I know, you see stuff on TV, you hear stuff from a bunch of crazy preachers that are crazier than me. And you wonder, is this stuff the real deal? I mentioned to you when I was here last year, because it's when it was just happening, was the story of Rosie. I had found her in Ethiopia, chained to a tree. Her parents didn't want her. They tried to starve her. They finally just took her in the bush, chained her to the tree. I just happened to be visiting the orphanage there in Ethiopia, and the guys told me about this girl that they had heard that was out in the bush. I said, "Okay, has anybody tried to find her?" "No." I said, "Let's go find her." And after driving around for a couple hours, we found her, and I had got a hacksaw, cut her loose from the tree, picked her up, took her to the orphanage, and I took this picture. Johan, can you give me that shot of Rosie sitting on the floor there? I'm sure there's medical people here, and if there is, you will know that usually when it goes this far, sometimes you can get them, sometimes you can't. I picked her up, got her to the orphanage. I took this shot myself. because I knew this was going to be a marginal case. Somebody was going to have to stand in the gap here. Somebody was going to have to step it up. I was leaving 2 days later to go to Texas to preach at a pastor's conference. So I took that picture and I put it in the folder, like these you'll see after the service. And I thought, maybe I can get somebody to sponsor this girl. And I told the story, just like I'm telling you guys. Went back out after the service, and a family came up. They were from Dallas. And the mom said, we want to sponsor her. I said, look, I cannot guarantee you that this child is going to be around much longer. She's in bad shape. And the mom looked at me and said, we want to do something to help save her life. See, that's what this thing is about, folks. It's somebody standing in the place that even the parents won't. Make sense? That's what this does. Like the guy who picked me up. Same thing. So they signed up. They sponsored. Great sponsors. Faithful in their commitment. Sent a bunch of extra nutrients. We got them to the girl. And after 6 months, I got the chance to go back and visit. And can you guys give me that other shot? After 6 months. That was her after 6 months. Come on, give the Lord a praise. I needed you to see this and remind you of this because this is a typical example of what can happen when one person, one family, chooses. And that's what it is. You guys know it as well as I do. They choose to make a difference. We are blessed to be a blessing. Amen? We're blessed to be a blessing. You all know that. I'm not going to spend any more time on that because I want to get into the message. But I wanted you to see this. The sponsor has also, and I just found out a couple of days ago, the sponsor has now been able through social media to get people to raise enough money to have this girl adopted. So she'll be adopted out. So this, see, it's the power of partnership, and I use that phrase a lot. It's me crazy enough to go to these places, to wear the bulletproof vest, to get in the shootouts. I have no problem with that. That's my life. That's what I do. But without churches like this, without people like you, this doesn't work, folks. You know it. I know it. It's when all of us do our part. So I'll be out there. Pastor, thank you again for allowing the folks to be a part of this. I want you to get your Bibles out very quickly. I mentioned the power of the process. We talked last night in the service about Jesus in the garden. I'm not going to re-preach that. If you weren't here, I would recommend that you pick up the tape, pick up the CD. I think it would be worth your time reading it. When he was in the garden, he was pressed beyond measure. You understand that. He was pushed beyond limits. And yet we saw that he went a little farther. He prayed a little harder. He believed a little longer. He was willing to go through that process because he knew that if he was not, God help us, if he was not willing to go just a little bit further than everyone else, your and my eternity would not be possible. You understand that? That was the essence of the message last night. Today, as I said, two different messages in these two services. But I want to remind you that everything in life is a process. Not just the process of maturation as we grow in Christ, hopefully, as we develop in our walk with the Lord. But every part of everything that we will ever accomplish will only be accomplished through a process. I mentioned earlier, I'm an extremely ordinary person. Some people struggle with that. you don't know me well enough. I don't have a stage persona, and then I'm different when I'm out there. I talk the same out there as I do up here. That way I never have to remember what I said. A lot of preachers are one way up here, and then as soon as they're done speaking, especially guest speakers, you can't find them. They're gone. They're back eating muffins back in the back room. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because they don't want you to see what they're really like. This is what I'm really like. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Yeah, this is what I'm really like. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because I was willing to go through a process. I learned years ago, after my home pastor committed suicide. I had to make some very serious decisions on what I was going to do. I've seen the great part of church. I've seen the really bad part of church. I've seen both sides. So have some of you. Mm-hmm. But there's this thing that we call a process. When this truck driver that was helping me drive the trucks of food over to Somalia, and he saw me get into it with the UN guy with the 45, and we were getting ready to leave after we fed the kids. I told you about it a couple minutes ago. He said, I wish I could have that same kind of faith that you have. Somehow it's like people of great faith, men and women of great faith, seem to be this unique rarity. That there are certain people. If we were Baptist, we would use the term, there are certain people that are predestined. Ooh, predestined to be great people. I was sitting with Billy Graham years ago. Him and I were speaking at the same conference. We were in the back room getting ready to come out, and I'd already spoken. He was up next. You would be shocked at how ordinary a guy Billy Graham really is. Just regular guy. And somehow we see people on TV or we hear something. They did that tape. You'll see the DVD out there called The Legend of Bill Wilson. Ooh, sounds scary. I only became a legend after I got shot in the head. That's how church people, it's another story. He said, I wish I could have great faith. I wish I could have faith like you, like it would be impossible for the truck driver to have faith. And yet, I've learned something that I want to share with you for these last couple minutes I got of how people become, how ordinary people become people of great faith. Mm-hmm. I think I told a story here. Did I tell a story about the time I smashed the guy's windshield in New York? The guy was passing my Sunday school bus on the sidewalk. I didn't tell you that story. Yeah, that was a bad day for me. He was passing the bus. I was picking up the kids, and he was going to go on the sidewalk. I thought, nope, not today. I jumped out, threw a garbage can at the windscreen, smashed the windscreen in Jesus' name, of course. Got into a little bit of a fight. See, I'm just like you. No, actually, Singaporeans wouldn't have done that. Actually, I'm worse than you. And now you know that. Why would I tell a story like that on a Sunday morning? Because you guys need to know that ordinary people are the ones that do extraordinary things. Ordinary people. How many ordinary people here? Wave at me. How many ordinary people? I'm going to wave this, and I'm going to wave my leg. See? How is it then that ordinary people can step out of the ordinariness? Is that a word? Ordinariness? It is today. I like it. It sounds good. Step out of the ordinariness and say, I'm going to be that person that has enough faith to change something, to do something beyond the parameters of your ordinariness. Now, take a look and see into, I'm not going to read a lot of text because we don't have time, but you may want to read it later. Over in 1 Samuel, it's the story of David and Goliath. Simple story, that's part of the problem. Because it's simple, we have a tendency to miss it because we think we know everything, especially folks that have been around church. With a story like David and Goliath, we all feel like we know it. And yet, if there was a title for this message, the title would have to be Winning an Unwinnable Battle. How do you walk in to a battle that you know everything intellectually that you have in you tells you you cannot make it through this fight, this battle, this struggle, this heartache, this disappointment, this disillusionment? David is on his way to lunch. He's taking lunch to his brothers. I tell you that only to warn you, be careful when you go to lunch today. Because you don't know, folks. See, I have learned that most folks' defining moment happens at the time when they least expect it. If we knew when our defining moment of life was going to come, you'd be ready for it. But you're not going to know. David's a kid. He's a young man. He's bringing lunch to his brothers. He hears Goliath screaming and hollering. He says, I can beat the guy. Saul questions him. You know the story. So my question to you is, how is it that a young man like that was able to muster, look at me, muster up, conjure up enough faith to walk into a fight, a battle, a struggle, to step right into it and have the faith to do something that would seem to most people as totally impossible? How does that work? I'm glad you asked. I did a little research on the life of David. So I'm going to throw it at you real quick, and then I'll get out of your way. The first thing that I noticed, it just jumped out, was I believe his faith was nurtured in solitude. Write that down, because you're going to want to go over this again later this afternoon. Instead of taking your Sunday afternoon nap, you may want to review this meeting and review this message. Nurtured in solitude. What was David doing prior to coming up against Goliath? He's watching the sheep. You know the story. He's watching sheep. I was in Ireland several years ago, and I heard so much about shepherding. Just leave those lights on, guys. Don't be flipping them on and off. Just leave them on. It's starting to irritate me. In this story, he's watching sheep. You know that part. So I decide I'm going to sit all night out in the field and watch sheep too. I'd never done that. So I thought this would be interesting. So I got a chair. There was a bunch of sheep across the street from the hotel. So I sat there, got there about 9 o'clock at night, and I'm just sitting in the middle of this field watching sheep. I thought there may be something here I could learn. And guess what? There was nothing there that I learned, except sheep really are as stupid as we've all heard. I'm sitting on this chair, and this one sheep, just kind of almost eye level, just about midnight, comes over and just does this. Just looking at me. So I'm looking at him. I just went, and the sheep was, they get rattled a bit easily. I learned a kind of a valuable lesson in that watching sheep is not very exciting. But there was something unique that night in the quietness. Listen to me. In the quietness, See, in this preparation for being people of great faith, at some point, you've got to turn your phone off. Some of you would have a heart attack if you had to turn your phone off. Mm-hmm. Shut off the phone, shut off the computer, shut off the TV, and shut up. Be still and thank you. Yeah. We live in a world where there has to be noise. You can't even go in a restaurant anymore until and you think it's a disco. The music's blasting and it just irritates the fire out of you. Now what does all this have to do with faith? It has everything to do, folks, because that is where the essence of faith begins. It begins to be nurtured in solitude. People wonder why I get along okay traveling, going off doing this, being gone on the plane. When I get on the plane, I take my earbuds, I put them in my ear, but they're not hooked up to anything. Why? Because I want it quiet. The person I'm sitting next to, I'll probably never see him again. I don't want to hear about their grandkids or their dogs. I need you with me, the solitude. Yeah. Look at somebody and say, he's talking to you. Just tell somebody, yeah, I think he's talking to you. Yeah, because I am. It's nurtured in solitude. From the time my mother left me on a street corner. See, I've had to live by faith, folks, since I was 12 years old. I had to trust God that every night the family in the church that I was now living in would remember that they were responsible for bringing me their leftovers, which was my one meal a day. I've lived by faith since I was a little boy. I understand faith pretty well. I understand what it takes to develop. It doesn't just fall out of the balcony. It's a process. It's nurtured in solitude. David, seemingly unprepared as a young man, walks onto the battlefield, tells Saul, I can beat him. And remember Saul questioned him? He said, What gives you the right to think that if my men can't handle it, why do you think you can? And do you remember David's response to the king? Remember what he said? He said, I fought a lion once, I beat him. I fought a bear once, I beat him. So as we say in New York, what's up? I fought the lion, I fought the bear. But see, with most of us, see, I'm going to get right in your business now. I'm going to get right where you live. See, most of us, when the lions of life come and the bears of life come, what do? See, you don't like to fight, do you? You don't like to have to square off. You don't like the confrontations. You don't like the battles. I've learned since I've been coming to Asia that it's all about saving face in this culture. I get it. Am I right, Pastor? I understand. I'm learning, you guys. I'm watching you. All of you. I'm learning. I got it. See, because it's easier for you to back out of it. I get it. In the natural, I get it. Or what happens is we pray when the battle comes. And here's how we pray. Let me get my praying face on. Give me a second. Oh, God. Why do we pray that way? Oh, God. I don't know what that is. Somehow. Oh, God. And here's the prayer. God, get me out of this battle. Get me out of the struggle. I don't like to fight. Some people think I'm a fight magnet because I'm always getting in fights. It was last year. I was the guys at the GBI church. The Indonesian GBI, they have their offices at Orchard Towers on Orchard Road, across from the Hilton. I didn't really know at that point what kind of goes on there in the evenings around there by Orchard Towers. So it's just me. I'm walking it, And there's a whole bunch of hookers down there. And I'm used to that because I live in New York. But some guy was pestering me. I said, no, man, I'm not interested. And then he made a derogatory comment about Americans. And, you know, sometimes things just come upon me. I just stopped. I said, you talking to me? And then he got nervous because he didn't think I'd said. He goes, no. I said, yeah. And then I thought, okay, I'm not going to let this go. I said, yeah, I think you're talking to me. And see, in New York, you come right up to somebody. Come right up in their face. I came right up his face. So I thought, man, he's going to fight. So let's fight. We're going to do it in Jesus' name. So I understand. I don't go looking for fights. I'm just, you know, some guys are chick magnets. I'm a fight magnet. The fights just come to me. Mm-hmm. David said, I fought the lion. I fought the bear. But see, here's the hook. This will help some of you. Here's the hook. See, when the lion comes to you, you don't want to deal with it, do you? Because it makes you uncomfortable. Even I make people uncomfortable. That's my gift. It's great, isn't it? That's why he only has me once a year. We couldn't do it any more than once a year. If you're a visitor today, please come back next week. He's great. Church is great. I'm from New York. I'm just passing through. I'll be out of here soon. Trust me. I'm on my way out as we speak. Mm-hmm. See, so when the battles come, it's easier to get away from it. It's easier to say, God, get me out of this. Or, here's another prayer we pray. Oh, Lord, give me strength for the battle. Are you nuts? Where did you come up with that theology? You don't get strength for a battle. You get strength from the battle. That was worth you dragging yourself in here just to get that. See, I never understood why my sister was a prostitute. I never understood why my mother left me on the corner. I never understood so much stuff and all the garbage I had to go through that I was a little kid until a couple of years ago when now I end up in Somalia. I end up on the street. I end up in Ethiopia. I end up going face to face, head to head with government people. Guess what? I've been prepared. Can I say that again? I said, I've been prepared. I have a faith that was nurtured in solitude, but it was strengthened in conflict. That's the second part of the process. You better write it down. Nurtured in the solitude of life. Getting alone. Seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. All these other things were added. Nurtured in solitude. But the faith I've got, folks. See, this is what the truck driver didn't understand. He didn't get it. I've been through the process. The faith I have didn't fall out of the balcony. I've gone through the process. How about you? I said, how about you? Do you want to be a man of great faith? Do you want to be a woman of great faith? Or do you want to be a sissy? Do you use that word here, sissy? Okay, good. You can use it now. See, or do you want to back off every time something comes at you? Nurtured in solitude, but it's strengthened in conflict. I am uniquely prepared to do what I do. You want to know now why we had 154,000 Sunday school? Do you get it now? See, it's all evolved, hasn't it? It's all evolved. It's moved, it's moved, it's moved. And now, I can go into hell with a squirt gun. I have no fear, folks. I have no fear. No fear. That's funny, isn't it? Especially if you'd have known me when I was young, when I was afraid of my own shadow. I had to have teeth pulled. I've had operations on my face. My face was deformed. I may show a picture of that, of what I used to look like in the next service. I used to read books. I didn't even talk to people because I was ashamed. You want to know why my mother left me on the corner? She was ashamed of me. She was ashamed of me. Nobody wanted me, but he did. Amen? He did. Nurtured in solitude, strengthened in conflict. But the last thing, number three, it's proven in hopelessness. Proven in hopelessness. Proven. There will come a time where your faith will be tested and it will be proven. And from that time out, once that's proven in you, then you can walk with me. You can go on some of these trips with me. I took 40 Singaporeans in March to go with me to the garbage dump and the cemetery in the Philippines. Many of them had never even been out of Singapore, right? You two guys were there with me. See, and I watched even these two, because I've known them for a while. I watched the Lord start to do something in them. I watched faith begin to rise. Faith begin to build. It's a process, guys. It's a process. Everything has been nurtured in solitude, strengthened in conflict, proven in hopelessness. Give me the picture of that little baby in the water there, if you will, please. I want you to see this. My time's running out. Do you have the picture there, please? I'm not going to go into the details here because I don't think it's necessary. But I wanted to finish with this because you need to understand there's another side of life. I hope all of you thank God every day that you live in Singapore. I trust you do. Amen? This little baby, we found him laying in the water. We don't know if he was killed or if somebody just decided they didn't want him. One of the neighbors said when we pulled the kid out, see, all of you understand now, I don't live like you. You know that now. I have chosen. I said, I have chosen. I have chosen a different lifestyle. Why? Because I have a faith that was nurtured in the solitude. I heard the silent voice. I heard the still small voice. Nurtured in solitude. I didn't run from the fight. I didn't run from the battles. I didn't run every time something came at me. As having done all to stand, then you just stand. Amen? It's proven in hopelessness when you stand there. Put the picture back up. And I was so frustrated. But see, I've been prepared for this, haven't I? You betcha. You betcha. I've been prepared for this. That's why I don't back off. And I made up my mind after we found this kid that we're going to start a Sunday school. Give me the next picture. We're going to start a Sunday school right across the street. You have that picture, please? Yeah. It's right across the street from that canal. All across Indonesia, Metro Sunday schools are popping up just like this in some of the toughest parts from Timor over to Papua and every place in between. Why? Because at some point, somebody has to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, do you understand this better now? Do you understand what all this represents? Do you understand that somebody has to get to these kids before this happens? I know you guys do. I understand that. I know this church. I know the foundation of this church. And I believe I know the heart of your pastor. But I'm telling you, folks, at the end of the day, you have a choice. You can be people of great faith. You are willing to go through the process or not. Nurtured in solitude. It always starts there. Strengthened in conflict. Don't run from the battle. Don't run away from it. You don't get strength for it. You get strength from it. And then one day, you're just going to be minding your own business. And you're going to find yourself in situations, maybe like I do, maybe different, maybe not. And it'll look hopeless. And that's when you say, according to my faith, so be it unto me. That's what this message is about. It's about looking at all of you and saying, it's still about ordinary people that choose to do extraordinary things by their faith. Father, I thank you today for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord. Lord, for this process of faith. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, because in the midst of everything, the battles, the struggles, the fights, the temptations, the burdens of life, God, I'm asking you to open the eyes of our heart today. I've asked him to play that song for a reason. Because that really is my prayer for today. That somehow the eyes of our heart, not the physical eyes, but the eyes of our heart, will be seen. What do you see? When you saw that little baby laying in the water, what did you see? You tell me. When I saw that baby, I said, we're going to have to do something here. We can't just walk away. If this is what's going to happen to these kids, somebody has to step up. I guess I was that somebody that day, wasn't I? Yeah, I guess. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Just pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy. And we sing. Holy, holy, holy. That's my prayer for my friends. It's my prayer. But somehow, someway, God, even as we walk out of this place, that we will determine to be that man, that woman, that young person that says the process begins today. Begins today. Nurtured in solitude. Strengthened in conflict, not running from the battle, and proven in hopelessness. How do you win an unwinnable battle? Where does the faith come to win those battles? Now we know. Now we know. Let the process begin. And we sing, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. I want. Thank you.
funny, this morning I was just thinking to myself, you know, before service started, I was just thinking about David and Goliath. So I'm glad I kind of spoke about that. I was just really asking ourselves whether we walk by faith or, you know, sometimes we tend not to walk by faith. And when God comes, He's looking for people who walk by faith, right? He says, you know, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on earth? So you know, I think it's good for all of us to not just go away from here hearing a message, but really asking, what kind of faith does God demand from us? Father, we thank You for today's message. We thank You for Pastor Bill. And we thank You for reminding us that You want a church that walks by faith, Lord. You want Christians, children of Yours, who walk not by sight, but who are prepared to take risks, who are prepared to go up to battles and embrace the challenges that are presented to us. So, Father, we thank You. As we go from this place, Father, we want to pray that these words will find deep root in our heart and bear the fruit in our lives, Lord. So as we go now, may Your blessing go with each and every one of us. Blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bill. Just want to remind you, you can pick up the books at the back. Okay, if you haven't sponsored somebody, you can look at some of the sponsorship program at the table at the back there. God bless you all.